What's it like being saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's like being a drowning man pulled from the sea. Rescued. Man, thankful. Like a prisoner set free. An outcast with a new family. And isn't that good? That's what it's like. Hey, if you got in on salvation, you might have been drowning in your sin. And man, I'm thankful. Thankful for what he's done in our lives. And something to sing about. Roger, that'll be in here. All right? Very good. John chapter number 7. John chapter number 7. We'll cover the first 13 verses, just so you know where we're at and where we're going tonight. I don't, as I say it every week, I don't expect this to be too long, but hopefully we'll... there's one thought at the end I'd like to try and transfer over. A lot of some of this is teaching and things, but John chapter number 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. For he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you for who you are in our life. Thank you, God, that we can call you Savior. Lord, as we sang, thank you for being our friend. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for hope. Thank you again for peace. Thank you for joy. God, I pray that as we study the scriptures here tonight and follow as how you interacted with those that were before you that day, that God, we would take something away from that, make application to our lives personally. God, that you'd be honored and glorified. God, we just want to do what you want done here tonight. Pray for those that are, again, not feeling well, be with the Rices as they travel back. And Lord, Lord, just have your hand upon our service here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter number 7, it starts with after these things concluding. We saw, a lot happened in John chapter number 6. We had the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus teaches on the bread of life. He goes back and forth about, we talked a lot about the elements there, if you would, and the bread and the wine and the blood and all of that, and not to reteach those lessons. And then Peter, in his great outspoken way, just demonstrates and confesses his faith before the Lord. And after those things, ever just get like emotionally drained? Say, what does that mean? Like, physically you didn't do much, but emotionally, just having conversations and intense conversations, or maybe a busy day at work, maybe physically you don't do a lot physically, but just mentally it just drains you out. Ever feel that way? I feel like when he says things like that in John chapter number 7, after these things, like, hey, there was some more stuff kind of going on, dealing with some other stuff. I mean, there was the humanity of Christ that we have here. After these things, by the way, it just wasn't, you know, sometimes in life you can't just turn the page too quick, right? We know that. Sometimes we're dealing with stuff. Maybe you even walk through the door, you put a smile on your face, but there's some things going on. Rest assured, Jesus had some things also. And you're not alone in that. And the Bible tells us that we can come to him and he understands all that we've ever experienced or thought or dealt with. And you may think, well, what's wrong with me? I got things. Well, Jesus had things. Well, it wears me out. That's all right. It's okay. Keep going. Keep going. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. Galilee was a little different than Judea. If you can imagine in your mind, Israel, although it's not large, broken up into some sections, Judea being the southern, Samaria being right in the middle, and Galilee being the northern part. Jesus was in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry. That's in Judea. It was separated. Galilee, again, and Judea were separated by Samaria. Galilee was known for having less of the Roman rule, as Samaria and Judea did. The people of Judea somewhat despised the northern Galileans. They talked different. They had a distinct accent. They were a little more lax in their religious commitment. Well, mainly because Jerusalem was in Judea. And why do we all got to go to another place? And there was a little cultural tension within Israel. The temple being in Jerusalem posed a problem for them. And Jesus, as he walked about, he had two groups of very distinct people. No one was on middle ground with Jesus. If you bring up, President Biden, greatest guy, worst president I've ever, and that depends on where you're at. That's kind of how Jesus was. Half the crowd wanted to make him a king, the other half wanted to kill him. As we continue, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. In Jewish customs, there are three major feasts: the Feast of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Tabernacles being the last one. But there are seven feasts, individual feasts. That would be the Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and then again the final feast, Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was 7 days long. And in verse 3, his brethren therefore said unto him, when it says brethren there, I think that's literally his brethren. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. Again, because he was in that northern area of Galilee, it was likely that it was his own brothers. Hold your hand in John chapter number 7, and get over to Mark chapter number 6. In verse 3, speaking of Christ, Mark chapter number 6, verse 1, and he went out from thence and came unto his own country, and his disciples followed him, speaking of Christ. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? And look at the humanity of the passage. Is not this the carpenter, son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. His own brothers and sisters and family had a hard time dealing with who he was. And we see that again in John chapter number 7. We see some, this is a Bible term or not, but we see some snarky, understand the word snarky? Ted, you know snarky? Ted has never spoken snarky to anybody, but she's heard it. There's some snarky comments being made by his brethren towards Christ. Again, I try and imagine the family dynamic. I mean, Christ is sinless. I don't know what that did to the brothers. It doesn't say he never made a mistake. He said he never sinned. Say, what's a mistake? Well, you forgot to turn the dishwasher on or something. I know they didn't have dishwashers. That's a mistake. That's not sin. But there certainly is some animosity between his brethren and him. They have these comments here in verse 3. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. One of the greatest blinders of logical truth is self-righteousness. Here, the brethren is kind of his brothers and family are sending Jesus, hey, why don't you go spend time with your disciples? Kind of almost a tongue-in-cheek, a phrase. As we look back just a few verses, and from that time in verse 66, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him, maybe a dig at him that way. Kind of like, hey, why don't you go deal with your followers there? We really don't have time for you. We're kind of busy. We're on our way to Jerusalem. Imagine telling Jesus that. Why is that? Because they saw that they didn't need him. In verse 4, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. I think in verse 4, I think a really important word in there, right in the middle. If. Look at how they're talking to Jesus. If you're really doing what you say you're doing, they don't really believe the miracles that he has performed. Their real feelings towards their famous brother is coming out, provoking him to perform miracles for all to see. Go to Matthew chapter number 4. Reminds me of that. Matthew chapter number 4. What do we find in Matthew 4? The temptation of Christ. Matthew chapter number 4 and verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, who's that? That's the devil. Here Jesus, having fasted 40 days, is in the wilderness alone, and the devil comes by, and he says this to him. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. A challenge. In the same chapter, look over just a few more verses in verse 6. Saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Hey, if you're really who you say you are, then do these things. Kind of like how his brothers were saying that night. Hey, if you're really who you say you are, if you've really done all these miracles, do something for us. Sounds like the devil himself. Hey, let's be careful that we not tempt the Lord. That's a danger. God, if you do this thing for me, then I will. How about you just let God be God? I think his plans are better than our plans. How about you just let him run the show? How about you not just, hey, God, if you can make this thing happen for me, then I'll. No, you don't bribe the Lord. That's not how our relationship is. No, he's all-powerful, all-knowing. Look at verse 5, sad verses. For neither did his, John 7, 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. Raised in the house. We see that he doesn't start his ministry until 30. We don't know what happens between 12 and 30. For 18 years, we don't know. We don't know where he went. It referenced him as a carpenter. Maybe he worked for a little while, Ashley. We don't know. They referenced him in another passage, the son of the carpenter. So maybe he worked hand in hand with Joseph. Maybe we don't see a lot about Joseph later. We see Mary at the death of Christ and when he's upon the cross. But Joseph, we don't know what happened to Joseph. Maybe Joseph died. Again, all speculation. Maybe Joseph died, though, and Jesus took over for the carpentry business up until a certain point. We don't know. But we do know this. His brothers and family didn't believe in who he said he was. don't know how you could live in that house and see a demonstration of God manifest in the flesh, because human nature is still the same. You can stand at somebody's door and you can show them from the scriptures what God says about them and God's working in their heart, but yet they still may say, I'm all set. Hey, remember that. Remember that even his brethren didn't believe on him. In verse 6, it says this, then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. He's like, listen, you're not telling me what to do, but you get bossed around here all the time. Kind of not, I don't want to use the word snarky with Jesus, but it was a little sharp. Verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. I think that's a little window into why his brethren had a hard time with him. Imagine righteousness, holiness personified. And here he says about himself, I testify of the evil works thereof. Imagine if your brother living in your house was Jesus. Man, maybe you'd have a little hard go with that. Always having the right thing to say. Maybe speaking almost to you as in riddles, not understanding what he was talking about. Speaking about his father's business. What are you even talking about, Jesus? He says, though the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth. And remember that. As you align yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not you that they hate, it's him. Why? Because he just reveals the evil thereof. You know, I'll tell you what you'll experience. If you take a stand for Christ and live righously, you'll hear, I guarantee, you'll hear this phrase, why are you always judging me? No, I've not said anything. But righteousness does call attention to evil. When you take a stand and testify of Christ, your witness will often be hated by the world. But it is not you, but the Spirit of God which works within us. I wonder what would have been different if some of the brethren did believe in him. Bet it would have made home a little nicer. But they weren't following him. But he still testified of the truth. And his holiness and his perfection was a reproach to them. In verse 8. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. He's not going to let anybody tell him what to do yet. We see this principle over and over and over again. In verse 6, he said it, my time is not yet come. What does that mean? That means when man has control over Christ. And until that, he says that hour comes, no one's telling him what to do. Say, that seems a little arrogant. He had to be, that his ways were so far above man's ways, they couldn't have worked hand in hand. For my time is not yet full come. You know, Christ has, God has his timing. Sometimes God's timing is a little different than our timing. You know, you can do the right thing at the wrong time. And then it's a mess. You know, I like that passage in Ecclesiastes, if you turn there. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Poetic. Ecclesiastes 3, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Time to be born and a time to die. Time to plan and time to be a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. It seems like God's got a timing for everything. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Man, how about those last two? Could we just learn that? Need to learn when to be quiet and when to talk. Time to love and a time to hate. Time of war and a time of peace. God's got timings. And here when we read in John chapter number 7, he says, that time hasn't come yet. God's timing. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, so they leave, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Waits for them to leave. Maybe what the other day, we have like three main sections of our downstairs. When you walk into our house, we have a wood stove room, then we have the kitchen and dining room, then we have like the TV room. The dog is allowed in two of those rooms, not the TV room. He can sleep in the wood stove room. He's not allowed on the furniture. He doesn't know that, so we have to put other furniture on that furniture to keep him off of that furniture. Then he's allowed in the kitchen. That's where his food is. But he is not allowed in the TV room. He'll stand in between the kitchen and the TV room looking. Sometimes he'll take a couple steps in. The other day, I went out front and was doing something outside. I looked back at the house, and there he was in the TV room, standing on the couch, looking out the window. Unbelievable. The minute we left, he went where he was not supposed to go. I wonder if Jesus kind of did that. I'm not going with you guys. You guys go ahead. He's waiting, looking out the window. All right, they're gone. Now I can go. That's kind of what it said. He didn't go openly, but as it were in secret. After his brothers left, he went. He began the journey. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 16. Say, why is he going? Because all males were required to go. Deuteronomy chapter number 16 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times in a year shall all males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. All of them were to go, all of them were to bring something. Man, I read that passage and I just think, what would happen today? Like, this world is so confused, they don't even know what male and female is. Like, what group is going to that? Like, who's showing up to that if we did that today? Anyways, okay, back to John chapter 7. This is kind of funny to me. That's how messed up this world is. It's really clear, male and female. I say, Pastor, that is not John 7. Don't go down there. Okay, all right. But God clearly defines things. All right, very good. Verse 10. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. All men were to go. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. Look at the two options. He is a good man. Others say, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Jesus was either who he claimed to be or he was the biggest phony who ever lived. When I was growing up, there was a magician. His name was David Copperfield. How many of you remember? Magicians were cool when I was younger. Now it's all computer generated. It was probably computer generated then. But he made the Statue of Liberty disappear. So how do you do? I have no idea. I wasn't there, but that's kind of what they're saying about Jesus. He's a fake. He's a phony. There's always naysayers to the truth. But it's still the truth. Whether people believe it or not, Jesus is right. And lastly, in verse 13, howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. That's our thought here tonight. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. The Jews that they're referring to are the Pharisees here. Look at John chapter number 12 and verse 42. John 12, 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, not because of the Pharisees. They did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They would lose cultural status. If they made a confession towards the Lord Jesus Christ, they wouldn't be allowed to come into the synagogue. Let's go back to John chapter number 7 and verse 13. The Bible says, howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. So I ask you tonight, what hinders you from speaking openly about the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you? Why don't we? What's the problem? Well, I'm afraid that what? What are you going to do? Lose a friend? Well, I'm afraid that this... lose my job. Listen, I don't think though you should... I don't think you should use work time to be witnessing, all right? Your employer employs you to do a job. Do that job well. On break time, then you can use that time. If the Lord opens a conversation or whatever, but if somehow you're able to do your job while talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that's just conversation. That's okay. But be careful that you not bring a reproach upon Christ because you're a bad worker using your time to tell about people about the Lord. I think you should be a bold witness for the Lord, but make sure you do that on your time. But do we fail to speak of the Lord because we fear somebody? A family member, a friend, a neighbor, a stranger. When I read that verse, howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear, and then the prepositional phrase after that, what would you fill in? I didn't talk about Jesus this week because I feared what? Is there anything that we should fear that would prevent us from talking about Jesus? I hope not. I hope that we could be bold in our witness. I hope our life would demonstrate righteousness as we follow the Lord, a humility about ourselves that would draw others to Christ. And then when God opens the door, that we would have the boldness to speak of him. So this week, as you go throughout your week, think about this passage. May this not be your testimony, howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of whatever it was. Hey, speak about Christ. Tell others about the greatest news of all time. There's no greater message than that of salvation. When was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? Well, I told them, God bless. That is not the same. When was the last time you spoke openly of him? A good challenge to our hearts. Let's all stand tonight.